Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Once again,
Hallelujah.
we rejoice to come in the presence of God. And we are glad that God made us see this day and to come here. Hallelujah. So we will go into the word. Tonight, I want to share very important revelations tonight. And that is going to help you immensely, help everyone, help us immensely to make it to the promised land, to make it to heaven. Because the devil wants as many as souls the devil can. He is trying to take to hell with him, to the lake of fire, which is the second death. So we are going to look at the first resurrection and the second death. I was going to discuss about the image of the beast, but to discuss about the image of the beast, I need to show you a lot of content which will not be possible to do on a Zoom meeting. So I plan and I pray to make a documentary on it, where a documentary video and share it. So I keep the image of the beast aside, because a lot of content needs to be shown to explain the image of the beast. So I am going to jump on the revelations of the first resurrection and the second death that we need to know. But before going to the first resurrection and second death, I have some revelations pending from last few meetings that I need to teach you. So let's go to the book of Revelation first. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Where we were on Revelation chapter number 12. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 11. Verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Right. Well, here we were on of how did they overcome. Now, this set of people who overcome the dragon, the serpent, is the real church of Jesus Christ. And we see a shadow of this word even in the Old Testament. So these things were pending. Once I cover this revelation about this verse in the Old Testament, then we will go to the next subjects. So it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. There are three weapons that are mentioned here that the church of Jesus Christ used to overcome Satan. The real church of Jesus Christ will never be dominated by the power of Satan. It will dominate, it will overcome Satan. If you are a member of the head, of the body, you will overcome Satan. Okay, that is the real church of Jesus Christ. And we see a shadow of it in the book of Daniel. Now, I told you, Daniel and his three friends in the book of Daniel signified a church of four people which could bring down principalities. Just four people could bring down a principality that was so powerful, that was highly demonic, that was dangerous, that had killed many prophets, that had killed many people. That principality that was ruled with ancient powers of Baal, Ashtoreth, I was discussing that last week. Ancient powers, ancient occultic rituals were done, sorcerers, magicians, those powerful demonic people, that powerful principality was taken down by Daniel and his friends in Babylon. That signifies a picture of a church that went into Babylon, but they rejected the defilement of Babylon. They rejected the delicacies of Babylon, and they rejected to bow down before the idol of Babylon. And they stood their ground on the word of God. We know the story. In every chapter, they stood their ground. In the first chapter, as soon as they entered Babylon, they were instigated by Babylon to bow down to the delicacies of the king's table, which was the food of the altar of Babylon. But Daniel said, we will not eat this food as per the law of our God. Give us vegetables to eat. You see that? So Babylon is something which will again, Baal, Ashtoreth, these entities are something that will again and again try to make every person bow down and take worship from them. So that when you bow down to an entity, your soul, your life, your destiny is covenanted with that entity. You know, I was in the office, and in the office, I had Christian friends. And in India, they celebrate all the heathen festivals to gods and goddesses. So they have festivals, and in those festivals, they will bring the food that was offered to idols and give it to people. When they come to me, I say, I don't take this food. Because taking the food or they celebrate festival, one of the goddesses they celebrate for 11 days or 9 days. Every day they have to wear a certain color, all of them. So they tell in the office, wear this color and come. But I will not wear that color because in doing such acts, we are bowing down to the entity. And our soul, our destiny is covenanted to that entity. Are we understanding? So Daniel was very careful about that. That is the true church. God said to Elijah, I have reserved for me 7,000 who have not bowed down to Baal. So 7,000 are still there. I have reserved them. So God is in the business of reservation. He's reserving souls for himself. He knows who will obey him. He is reserving them. He knows those who will not bow down is a soul, is a person reserved for God's army, is a person reserved for the first resurrection. So Daniel and his friends were a picture of the church of Jesus Christ, of the real church of Jesus Christ, right there in Babylon. And we will see when you read the book of Daniel, you will see Daniel and his friends were threatened with the threat of death three times. Were threatened with the death threat three times in the book of Daniel. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. That is the first death threat to Daniel and his friend. Daniel, chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. So, in chapter number 2, let's read from verse number 10. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magicians, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and was very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon, meaning kill all the wise men of Babylon, including Daniel and his friends. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. The first death that encountered Daniel and his friends. Okay, now the first death that encountered Daniel and his friends. What did Daniel do? Then, with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch. He answered and said to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So Daniel escaped the first, Daniel and his friend escaped the first death threat. How? By a revelation. What were the three weapons in the verse? Revelation 12, verse 11. blood of the lamb, word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives even till death. This is the word of the testimony. I told you the word of the testimony means that you are a witness of an encounter of God's word. And then you are an eyewitness. You can report what you saw. You can report what you heard when you encounter God's word. I told you, many of us read the word of God, but we don't know about the word of God encountering us. The word of God encountering us means the word of God hitting us in a way that will never get out of our spirit man. We will always remember it. Now I am 30, even when I get to 65 or 70, I will remember that word in my spirit man because it encountered me, it convicted me. Those are word encounters. That is the word of our testimony. Okay? So I have already explained this. We think word of our testimony means we come in the meeting and we say, oh, you know what? God gave me $50 that I wanted. The devil is defeated. Not, that is not the testimony the Bible is talking about. The word of our testimony is the witness who has encountered the scripture, who has encountered a revelation of the Spirit. So you see, I'm trying to teach you the church, the shadow of the church in the book of Daniel escaped death by the word of their testimony. So Daniel went, told Azariah and Mishael and what's his name? Hananiah. That is Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The Hebrew names are Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. He told them, pray for me. We need to pray. And he was praying. And in the night, the revelation was opened. He encountered something. He saw the dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And then when he became a witness of a revelation, the word of his testimony saved him and his friends from death. Hallelujah. People of God, you need to encounter, you need to have, because the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young people shall see visions. Your old people shall dream dreams. Your maidservant shall prophesy. They shall encounter the word. They shall encounter scriptures. They shall encounter mysteries. And this is the time where everyone in the group should encounter the scriptures, the revelation of God's word. Because when the devil comes against you, you need to have a report of the scriptures that you can use to defeat the devil. Okay, do we see that in that scripture? I'm not going in detail. I have to go in the other revelation. So the death was escaped, was defeated when Daniel encountered a revelation, a mystery that was unveiled to him. The word of his testimony made him defeat Satan in Daniel chapter number 2. Okay, the second death threat in Daniel is in Daniel chapter number 3. Is in Daniel chapter number 3, where Nebuchadnezzar made the golden image. Why he made the golden image and what is the revelation behind it, I have explained in my last sermon. So you can go to the YouTube channel, those who want to know, and have a hearing on those sermons. Okay, but here we know that Nebuchadnezzar made a golden idol. And he said in verse Daniel chapter number 3, verse number, let's start from verse number 5. Verse number 5, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, the second death threat. You see? So why I'm teaching you, people of God? Because the devil and the God of this world and the ancient spirits will encounter the people of God, the church of God, with death threats. And you need to know how these people overcame death. They overcame the serpent by the blood of the lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives even till death. So here is again a death threat. Whoever does not bow down to the golden image, what they will do? Not remove them from the job and not give them salary. They say they will kill, burn them alive. That was the threat to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Times are coming when these things are going to happen. And people of God, we need to equip for such times as this that are coming. ahead of us. It says they will put those people who will not bow down into the fiery furnace. Let's go to verse number 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods and worship the gold image which you have set up. Okay, hallelujah. When a principality like Babylon is ruling over your territory, there will be again and again offers to you, bow down, bow down, bow down. Hallelujah. So here, they said they are not bowing down. So Nebuchadnezzar, verse 13, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Another offer. I am giving you another chance. Bow down and worship the God. Worship the image I have set up. This is a sign of the image of the beast which will be set up. And people will be asked to bow down before the image of the beast. I give you another chance. You do it, otherwise I will put you in the furnace of fire. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Wow. Hallelujah. No respect when it comes to their God, to the great king. No respect to that great king. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, in case our God does not come, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Hallelujah. And then you know what happened? King Nebuchadnezzar got very angry. He heated the furnace 7 times. Even the people who were taking these 3 guys to the furnace, they got burnt and they died. And they put these 3 people in the furnace, but they did not die because there was a 4th man walking in the furnace. Hallelujah. Why he came? Why he came? Why did he come? Because they did not love their lives until death. The second death threat. Was defeated again by another weapon. What was the weapon? They did not love their lives until death. Do we see that? First death threat was defeated by the word of the testimony. Second death threat was defeated because they did not love their lives until death. Hallelujah. I am telling you, you shall defeat death, beloved. Death will try to come against you and kill you in every kind of manner and way it want to do. That is the work of the devil. But it will never be able to do that because you know your weapons. Hallelujah. You know your weapons. Hallelujah. When you do not love your life even until death, the 4th man will come to your rescue. The 4th man will come to your rescue. Okay, listen. Let's go to the 3rd death threat. In the book of Daniel, which is in Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. So let's read. Let's start to read from verse number 6 onwards. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. Now we know before that they were trying to find fault or error in Daniel, but the Bible says Daniel had an excellent spirit. So, in his work, there was no fault. Wow. Hallelujah. So, they said, okay, in his work, there is no fault. Let's try to find a fault in his commitment towards his God, Jehovah God. Let's try to find a fault in his religion. Let's try to do something. So these governors, verse number 6 says, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Third death threat. So what they are doing, they are saying no one can pray. No one can speak with God. This is Babylon. This is the second. Babylon is now over. Now it's the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. This is the next principality. And the next principality has a different strategy. The first principality, Babylon, had the strategy of making people bowing down. This next principality of the Medes and Persian has a strategy to shut up heavens and don't allow people to pray. You see, every principality, I have spoken about principalities, dominions, thrones, and all those stuff. I have explained those things in my earlier sermon, so I'm not going into those things. But principalities come in the timeline of history, one after the other. Every kind of principality applies a different strategy. Okay, and this strategy, this principality is now, Daniel is facing a new challenge. They are trying to make a law where Daniel cannot pray. And these demons know if these guys, we stop them anyhow to pray, then we will be able to dance in the territory. No one will be able to harm us because we have stopped Christians from praying. Hallelujah. Do you know there are demons around you that don't want you to pray? Do you know when you watch TV or when you watch a football match or when you're on your phone, you don't fall asleep? You can go around for 3 hours, 4 hours. Nothing bothers you. But as soon as you take your Bible and put it and start to read, within 3 minutes, you will do like this. Because there is a spirit being that has no problem with you watching a football match, with you watching TV. But when you start to read the Bible, the spirit being has problems with you. It's the involvement of a spirit, which is also called a spirit of slumber, where the Bible says the spirit of slumber comes when you involve yourself in activities that will cause a threat to the demonic kingdom. Hallelujah. Some of you may be, you have danced from morning until evening and you were so fresh, but when you come and sit in this meeting, you are feeling so sleepy because there is a spirit being that has problem. They don't want you to hear what I'm saying. Do you understand that? They don't have problem when you do other stuff. No problem. Continue to do it. You go to a church and they are praying music. They don't have problem. Go listen to the music. Even the demons will dance in the church with you. But when it comes to spiritual things that will make you, where you become a threat to their kingdom, they will come and do something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were trying to stop Daniel to pray. They were trying to stop Daniel to pray because the demons are afraid when you sit in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And start to seek the Lord. That is what they were doing. Daniel chapter number 6, we are on. Verse number 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. The devil is so smart, it used the law of the government of the Medes and Persian. Once the king signs it, the devil knows it cannot change as per the law. So the devil also knows the laws of your government. It can use the law of the government to his benefit and to your dismay, to attack you. But God is God who can even, his power can even break the authorities of the laws of the government. We will see that. Hallelujah. So the devil said, we are successful. Daniel will be killed if he prays. He will be killed if he. The devil knew it. The devil was so. The devil had more faith than the believers. He knew he will be successful. Okay. So, verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. See, the Bible clearly says he knew that the writing was signed. If anything he does like that, he will be killed. Even after that, he went. Oh, hallelujah. Because he knew something. Even after that, he went upper room, in the upper room, opened his windows toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem has the temple of God. And that was the temple that was built by King Solomon. And Solomon made a covenant standing in front of the glory of God with the temple of God and with God himself. And he said, Lord, one of the covenants he made, if you remember, he made many covenants with God. And one of the covenants he made, Lord, if your people went into captivity and they look towards this holy temple of yours and they lift up their voice to you, listen to them, O Lord. There was a covenant on the basis of which Daniel was acting. There was hallelujah. There was a covenant. There were many covenants that Solomon made. Go and read in the book of Kings. We don't have time now. Covenants that were made were like, Lord, when your people come and pray to you in this temple, hear them and bless them, Lord, hear their prayer. One of the covenant, and when the people disobey and they go into captivity, but they put their face towards your holy temple and they pray, Lord, hear their prayers, when they humble themselves and pray. So that's why Daniel went, opened his window towards Jerusalem. He knew the covenant. He knew the word of God. He knew the covenant and he prayed because he knew the God of heaven abides by covenants. Acts on the basis of covenants. Okay. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He knew the covenants. That is what he was doing since early days. And he continued doing it. You see, you have to come to a level where how much ever pressure you faced in the office and you got a lot of scoldings from your boss, but you should come, when you come back home, you should abide by your covenant. Daniel was not shaken because he was in the office, and in the office, everyone started to speak. Oh, whoever prays, they will be put in the den of lions. It was a pressure in his office, but when he came back home, he did not say, Oh Lord, what is this happening? I cannot pray. My mind is not in place. He prayed. So the pressure in his office did not stop him to perform his covenant, to perform what he was doing regularly for the Lord. There are covenants that God makes with man. There are covenants. Some covenants are, you shall come to me at this time. And you come 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. But the 4th day, something happened. You have a fight with the husband and you don't feel like coming. So God is watching that the place is empty. And he is not able to perform his word because the covenant requirements were not fulfilled by you. That are abiding by the covenant laws. Because God is a God of covenant. When you... Hallelujah. Are we understanding? There are several covenants that God makes with man. Like he calls you to the place of prayer. He calls you to read his word at that time. Maybe he calls you to give, or he calls you to do a certain job for his kingdom. So it's covenant and you are covenanted. Continue to faithfully do those things. And Daniel was doing that. Okay, any which ways. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the kings and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persian, which does not alter. Okay, then we will go to verse number 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought. Daniel was in the den of the lions. Okay. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions, and he came to the den. He cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually. The king also is a testimony of who Daniel is. He serves God continually, though he works in the office, but after the office he prays. Hallelujah. You cannot give me an excuse. Oh, brother, you know what? I'm going to office. You have to set a regular time where you seek the Lord. Okay, any which ways. So the king called for Daniel. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Hallelujah. The third death threat. What were the three weapons? We are done with the word of our testimony, did not love their lives until then, and the blood of the Lamb, which is a sign of the covenant. So a sign, a covenant that Daniel abided by, he defeated death. Hallelujah. Now, the covenant of the blood of the Lamb, I have explained in the first part of this series, how we have to abide by the contract of the covenant of the blood of the Lamb. You remember, those who were there, maybe, what I said, that the blood of the Lamb does not work automatically. It has a covenant, it has a purchase contract with which we have to abide, then the blood. Hallelujah. So, the threats, death came for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Death will come for the church of Jesus Christ. But you need to know how to defeat the serpent who wants to kill you. Hallelujah. Are you ready, people of God? I'm telling you, death will come for the real church of Jesus Christ. If I am truly a member of the body of Christ, a true child of God, a true servant of God, death will come for me. I need to know how to defeat death. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go away before my time. I'm going to whack the kingdom of darkness and fulfill my purpose. And then when the Lord calls me, then I will go. Hallelujah. We shall not all die, but we shall be transformed with the twinkling of an eye, the first resurrection. They did, hallelujah, they did not love their lives until death. Amen. So do we see the shadow of what the New Testament says in the Old Testament? It already happened in the Old Testament. The three death threats in the book of Daniel were encountered by the blood of the Lamb, like the covenant, and then the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives until death. Hallelujah. So the church of God should be equipped with the revelation of these weapons that we are having. Okay, let's go to a very important subject. And I am going to clear out confusion and controversies of the doctrine regarding and in relation to the subjects that people are teaching and preaching. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 19. What I'm going to say can be a continuation of the beast. Who is the beast? Beast is the Antichrist. There is the second beast. The second beast is the prophet to the Antichrist in Revelation 13. All those stuff I have already explained, and you can find the sermon on the YouTube called Exposing the Beast System. Now, some of the words on YouTube, I have muted it out because of copyright issues, because I have used some words of organizations and exposed exactly who are they and how they play the role in the beast system. Exactly, I have told it. So I have muted. But if you want to know about who is the beast, what is the beast, and who is the second beast, go to the sermon called Exposing the Beast System on the YouTube channel. I've taken a sermon on detail. So it is kind of a continuation after the beast system. Okay, what I am teaching you. So I am coming to Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence. What signs? There is a beast, the Antichrist, and there is the second beast who has the horns of a lamb but speaks like a dragon. That means it's a Christianized society, but it has the utterance of the Satan. It looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. It's the Vatican City Catholic Church. That will be the false prophet, the prophet to the Antichrist, and that church will be granted power by Satan to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. One of the things that they will do is they will show you, and they will give breath to the image of the beast, Revelation chapter number 13, and make the beast alive, the image alive, the non-living thing alive, and make it talk and speak like a person. In Revelation chapter number 13. I am speaking from the... listen to me. Revelation chapter number 13. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 13. And verse number... Verse number 15. He was granted who? The second beast, the false prophet. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be of the beast to be killed. You see that? The false prophet was given power by Satan to give breath to the image, a non-living thing, an image, an idol of the beast. And that is why the last session I took the historical information about Nimrod, Ashtoreth, and about the resurrection of their son Tammuz. You know, after I preached the sermon, after 2 days I was watching, going through the news, and in the news, the Prime Minister of India built a temple to a certain god. I don't want to take the name. And the idol of the god is in that temple. Okay. And I was in India, and that god they are speaking about is not the god which they made the idol for, because it's a black idol. And the god was like my color. But they made a black idol. So the people of India don't even know what idols are being made. It's not about their god. It's about some ancient beings. So any which ways, after last week, I saw the news, and what they did is, through the opening of something in the temple, they brought the sun rays, the rays of the sun inside the temple, and took a mirror and transferred the sun ray on the head of the idol, exposing that idol to the sun god. That is, listen to me, those rituals that I was telling you last time about Nimrod and all, those are the ritualistic occultism through which the Antichrist image will start to speak through the rays of the sun god Nimrod. You remember I told about the resurrection of Tammuz? They will show power by using the sun god power, giving breath to a lifeless image or a lifeless idol. Hallelujah. Listen to me. That is what Antichrist will do. That is what the prophet, the beast, will do. That is in the scripture I'm teaching you. People will not talk about these things. I'm teaching you because the day it happens, many Christians will be deceived. Oh, this is the power of God. This is not the power of God. This is already in the Bible. The Antichrist, the prophet, the false prophet will be the Vatican City. The church in the Vatican City will be given power to perform such things. Have you seen the church there in that city church? The cross in that church? The cross is having a sun in between, the golden sun. Did you see that? The popes who take the cross, it is having a sun in between. It's not the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. It's the cross of Tammuz, where it shows the sun god is making the deity alive. That's why we don't worship a graven image or don't stand before a graven image. You see all those things. You know what? I am not going to say much things about it. I will make a documentary about it, a detailed documentary with evidences of historical and archaeological things that were proved. So these are the things that will happen, beloved. Okay, I'm not going into that. But it says, come back to Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet. So the beast and the false prophet, that is the second beast, false prophet, who worked signs in his presence. I told you what kind of signs, okay? By which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. They will make you worship an image. And Christians, why should I worship an image? Well, Christians, you don't want to worship the image? See, the image is resurrected. See, the image can speak, and Christians will be amazed who don't know the word, who don't have the discernment. Are you understanding how the devil wants Christians to be taken off, from the path of God? Okay, by which he deceived those who received the mark and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, that is Jesus, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. This is the end of the world. This scripture I'm reading is the end of the world. So the Lord came, took the false prophet and the beast, Antichrist, alive, took them alive, did not even kill them, and put them alive in the lake of fire. And those who had the mark of the beast, the sword came out of the Lord's mouth and killed them, all of them, destroyed all of them. This is after the bowls of wrath, after everything is ended. This is the end of the world. Then let's come to Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 1. Revelation 20, verse number 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of the old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So the Satan was not yet destroyed. The beast and the prophet was destroyed, and the people were killed. So no one is there on the earth now. Okay, no one is there. Everyone is dead on the earth. And then the angel of God came and bound Satan in the bottomless pit and sealed his mouth, that he cannot speak for 1,000 years. This is the 1,000-year reign. Okay, let's go ahead. Stay with me now. We are going into something very serious. Verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These are the people who were a part of the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? I will come to that. I will give you simple definitions, and then you will be able to understand it very clearly. Stay with me. So they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead did not live again. There was no resurrection for them. They were dead in the earth. Their bodies were dead. Dead in the earth. They did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. So after 1,000 years, there is another raising, but that is not, I cannot call it as resurrection. It is the raising of the dead souls for judgment unto second death. But this is the first death. Okay, stay with me. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Everyone say, I shall be a part of the first resurrection, and the second death shall have no power over me. Everyone say that. Yes. Listen to me. Those who are a part of the first resurrection, they have escaped from the second death. But those who are not a part of the first resurrection are subject to the judgment of the second death. The judgment of the second death, I will come at the end of the sermon. But let us define what is the first resurrection. Okay, write it down. What is the first resurrection? Write it down. First resurrection is the gathering together of the saints to Jesus, that is rapture. First resurrection is what is the gathering together of the saints to Jesus, that is rapture. It is rising from the death unto eternal life. It is rising from the death unto what? Eternal life. Okay, are we clear? So stay with me. What is first resurrection? Gathering together of the saints when the Lord Jesus comes, both who are dead and who are alive at that time. Hallelujah. What apostle could you? Yes, I will put it. The documentary, I am going to work on it. I just thought about it and I'm going to work on it. But okay, let me come back. So the first resurrection is the gathering together of the saints with Jesus Christ. That is the rapture. Now, when I say that, many people will be confused because the body of Christ is bombarded with nonsense called as the post-trib, the pre-trib rapture, the mid-trib rapture, while the Bible clearly states about when the rapture will happen. Now, listen to me. Let me make a statement, people of God, and listen to what I am saying. It's a statement I am making that I will not go back even after many years. The statement I'm making is the pre-tribulation rapture is the doctrine of Satan. Where they say that you will not see Antichrist, you will not see any tribulation, you will not see any of those stuff before that Jesus will come and take you. That is a doctrine right from the mouth of the beast. Do you know, like God ordains people and gives his word to them to teach people, in the same way Satan also ordains speakers, pastors, apostles, and gives his doctrine. And some of these apostles and prophets who are saying, you will not get the mark of the beast, you will not see the Antichrist before all those things happen, before the Antichrist come, you will be taken up to heaven, Jesus will come back. It's a lie. I am going to talk from the scripture and show you so clearly that you cannot deny that every person on this earth is going to witness the Antichrist. The rapture will happen after that, beloved. And why Satan is preaching a pre-tribulation rapture? Because he wants believers to be caught unprepared. He wants believers to be caught unprepared. That when Antichrist comes, when the mark of the beast comes, no one has a clue because they were taught that Jesus will come before that. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Now listen to me. I will come to the scripture to fulfill what the statements I am making. Okay. So what did I say? The rapture, the coming together of the saints with Jesus Christ and he taking us up is the first resurrection. Next point about the first resurrection I want to say is, after the first resurrection, there is no other resurrection. Write it down. After the first resurrection, there is no other resurrection unto eternal life, but the release of the dead unto judgment for the second death. After the first resurrection, there is no other resurrection unto eternal life, but the release of the dead unto judgment for the second death. Okay? The next thing you need to write down is, first death is a physical death of a human to be destined to heaven or to Hades. First death has no power over Satan and his fallen angels and demons. What is first death? When a person dies physically on this earth, and after that, his soul is committed to judgment. Whether he will go to heaven or he is sent to Hades, that is called hell, Hades. It's a temporary place. It's not the second death. It's the first death. Where a person dies, men die once and then they are appointed to judgment, the Bible says. Okay, so as soon as you die, it will be your spirit. Okay, many people are confused about resurrection and about where they will. They think after you die, you will sleep in the grave. And when the resurrection day comes, you will rise again. No. After you die, immediately your spirit will go to either heaven or to hell. There is a difference between that going to heaven after your death and the resurrection that will happen when the Lord Jesus comes back. There is a difference. What is the difference, you might ask, Brother Raul? What is the difference? Remember, Apostle Paul says that I want to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Remember that? So he says, my spirit wants to leave this body here and go with the Lord in heaven. He's talking about he dying and going to heaven and staying with the Lord. So that is his spirit. But the body lies in the grave. On resurrection, the spirit will get a glorious body that will rise from the grave. That is resurrection. Are we understanding? Okay, let me give you another example. Let us look at Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? The last words, he said, Father, give my spirit. He yielded up his spirit to the Father. So the spirit went to the Father. The body was in the grave. Then what happened after 3 days? The body was missing. The body was taken away. So the graves will be empty on resurrection day, on when Jesus comes back. Are you understanding? So, hallelujah. If you are understanding until now, say amen. Hallelujah. So when you die,
amen.
Amen. When you die, beloved, when I will die, what will happen after the death? If Jesus did not come back until then, death, my body will go to the grave, but my spirit will go to heaven. Then when Jesus comes back, his second coming, my body will rise from my grave, and I will look glorious. My body will look glorious. And that body will be given to my spirit in heaven. That is the resurrection. And many people are confused about it. Many people are confused about it. Are we clear on that? So what I was saying is, the first death is when we die physically and our spirit goes to either heaven or either hell. That is the first death. The first death has no power. The first death has no power over Satan. Satan is not destroyed by the first when people die. But he wants the people to die and go to hell. Because Hades is a place where only the spirit of man is tormented. Satan is not tormented in Hades. You understand? Demons are not tormented in Hades. Fallen angels are not tormented in Hades. So the first death that human beings die is not the end of Satan. Satan will end when the second death will be released. Are we understanding? That he being taken and thrown into the lake of fire, that place where even the dead souls are tormented along with Satan, his fallen angels. That the second death will destroy Satan, not the first death. Are we clear on that? Okay. The next point, second death is eternal condemnation to the lake of fire. Second death is eternal condemnation to the lake of fire, where Satan is destroyed himself, and the transfer of souls of the dead from Hades to the lake of fire. So right now, people who did not believe in Jesus, or who even believed in Jesus but did not obey Jesus and they died, they are not in the lake of fire. They are where? In the Hades. After the 1,000 years of reign, the Lord will command the Hades to bring up the souls of the dead and transfer them to where? To the lake of fire. That is the second death. But he who is a part of the first resurrection will be not hurt by the second death. So if you ascended when Jesus came back, second death will not be your portion in Jesus' name. If you, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am teaching you for the things that will come in your final exam. We are busy for preparing for the things that we want to please this earth. We want to become big on this earth. But the final exam is there, the judgment. I'm preparing you for that. Hallelujah. Listen to me. So are we clear on the facts of the first resurrection? Yeah. What is the first resurrection? What is the second death? What is the first death? Okay. So I think we are clear on that. If you're not clear, you can listen to the sermon always. It will be on the internet. Okay. Now coming to the resurrection, the rapture. The first resurrection, I told you, is the rapture. Okay. So let's go into the rapture. When will the rapture occur from the scriptures? Be very attentive what I'm saying. So the first point about the first resurrection that we want to look at is, what is the first resurrection? And what will happen during the first resurrection? What is the first resurrection? What will happen during the first resurrection? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And verse number 13 to 18. 13 to 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So when the Lord comes back, those who have already in the graves, their bodies will be resurrected to a glorious body. Corruption shall put on incorruption. Mortality shall put on immortality. Like the body of Jesus that went missing from the grave. Why? Because the body of Jesus resurrected. Resurrection is about the bodies. It's not about the spirit. It's about the body. It says the spirit of God raised Christ from the dead. So there is the spirit raising a dead body to a glorious body, which will never decay. Hallelujah. Are we understanding resurrection? So that is Apostle Paul speaking, that don't be ignorant, brethren. The Lord Jesus, he died and rose again in the same way. Those who sleep in Christ, they will rise again at the sound of the trumpet, voice of the archangel, when the Lord Jesus will come back. The dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. My sister Mary can explain it better because she had dreams about rapture. I had dream about rapture years back, two or three dreams, and it was so awesome. I felt I ascended in the air like I was a flight going, not even a flight, but ascending in the air. So it is that feeling. It says those who are alive will be caught up with the Lord to meet him in the air. So you will be taken to heaven. Hallelujah. If you are alive while the coming of the Lord is. Okay. Meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This is rapture. This is what is rapture. This is what will happen during the rapture. Okay. Another verse that I want to give you about the changing of our bodies is in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 50. When you get time, you can read the whole chapter. I don't have much time, that's why I'm not reading the whole chapter. But the whole chapter talks about the resurrection. And Apostle Paul is clearing a false doctrine where people in Corinthians were saying, there is no resurrection of the dead. And Apostle Paul was teaching them about resurrection in that chapter. Any which ways, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will be sounded when Jesus comes back. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. First the dead will rise when Jesus comes into incorruptible bodies, and then we shall be changed. For this corruptible man must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Okay, stop there. So you see that death is defeated after that. When you resurrected, you escaped death forever. Because the second death, you are not subject to the second death. That is what Apostle Paul is saying. You got a new glorious body. That's it. You made it. You made it to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And then after that, you will be given a throne in heaven. And you will be given the responsibility to judge kings, queens. So don't be so impatient and judge people now. The time will come when you will be given to the responsibility to judge them. Hallelujah. So God is looking for a mature church who are filled with the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. That how can you judge nations if you don't have the wisdom while you are on earth? You, these are the souls of that will be taken up with God. They are matured in Christ. They have no blemish. They are virgins. They have not slept with a woman. They have not let alcoholic drinks enter their body. They have not bowed down to idols. Hallelujah. They have hold on to the. These are the souls which will go, which will be taken up. These are the bodies which will be changed. Are we understanding what is resurrection? Now. When will it happen? I am not trying to predict anything when it, because the Bible says not even the son knows when the father has ordained it to be so. So don't, I am not telling you the date, but I am telling you the events that will occur. Hallelujah. The events, after which event will the resurrection happen? Hallelujah. Shall we go ahead? It's a verse. So I want you to be very attentive. We will take half an hour, more than half an hour maybe. But once we go into that, okay? So I want you to open two scriptures, Matthew 24 and Revelation 6. And I want someone to read, maybe Sister K can read Matthew 24, verse 3 to 31. And Sister Mary can read Revelation chapter number 6. The whole chapter, okay, not the whole chapter. Revelation chapter number 6, verse 1 to 16, the complete chapter. Revelation chapter number 6, verse 1 to 16. And Sister K, read Matthew 24, verse 3 to 31. Okay? Yeah, continue when you are ready.
Okay. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. And let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. And false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. When Wherever the carcasses, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days,
okay.
The sun.
See what it says. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So these things are happening, and after the tribulation of those days. Let's see. This is the rapture scripture. Okay. Say, after the tribulation of those days, what will happen?
The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds and heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end to heaven, from heaven to the other.
Okay. So this is Matthew 24. Jesus gives an explanation of the end days. And you know what? It will shock you to know that Matthew 24 is Revelation chapter number 6. What is Revelation chapter number 6? The seven seals. That, okay, we will, Sister Mary will read that and then I will explain. You have to make a table and I will explain you what will happen when. Jesus already told about the seals in Matthew 24. Okay, listen to me. So the book of Revelation consists something called as seven seals, seven trumpets and seven bowls. The seven seals, is the mystery, the manifestation of the mystery of the Antichrist rule. Okay. The seven trumpets is the completion of God's mystery. What is God's mystery? God's mystery is all kingdoms, dominions, thrones, principalities, and everything will be reconciled back to Christ. Is the mystery of God, which will be completed after the seven trumpet blows. The seven bowls of wrath is the end of the world. And the torment of those who did not participate in the first resurrection. Seven seals. I'm simplifying everything for you. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls of judgment. So let's come to the seven seals. What are the seven seals? The manifestation of the mystery of Antichrist, which is initiated by the Lamb opening the seals of the scroll. Okay. Sister Mary, read Revelation chapter number 6 now.
Okay. Now I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out. It was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And a power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Then I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and now, behold, there was a
great... Now this is the rapture. This is the rapture again, Matthew 24, what we read. Okay, continue. Yes.
And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, rich men, the commanders, and the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?
Okay. So since when we have read the scriptures, Matthew 24 and Revelation 6. If you have a diary and a pen, I want you to make two columns. The first column will be titled Revelation 6, and the second column will be titled Matthew 24. Make two columns now. Revelation 6 and Matthew 24. Now, the first point in Revelation 6, under Revelation, the first point, let's start off. Under that column of Revelation 6 is the first seal. The first seal, write down first seal. Let's see what is the first seal in verse number 1 and 2. Revelation 6, verse number 1 and 2. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Now the one who comes on a white horse to defeat the army of Satan later in Revelation is Jesus Christ. But this guy who is coming on a white horse is the Antichrist, the duplicate of Jesus Christ, coming on a white horse. And the white horse signifies that first of all, Antichrist will come and bring peace, and he will conquer the hearts of men. That is the bow in his hand that is given to conquer. Okay? So, Revelation chapter number 6, the first seal is the coming and the introduction of the Antichrist, who will come as a white guy, a peaceful guy on a white horse, and he will conquer and win everyone's heart. That is the coming of the Antichrist. Let's now, in the second column in Matthew's chapter number 24, under that, write down, first of all, verse number 4 and verse number 23 to 25 and verse number 15, which are the verses that Jesus said that corresponds to the opening of the first seal. Okay, verse number 4, verse number 23 to 25 and verse number 15. So let's see what Jesus is speaking in Matthew 24. What I'm trying to show you is Matthew 24 is a revelation of Revelation chapter number 6. Okay? What Jesus is saying in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, What is the beginning mark of the end times? He said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. The first seal. Jesus starts off the end days by not saying there will be earthquakes or famines. He starts off the end days with saying there will be deception by many who say, I am Christ, the one on the white horse. Okay? So do you see the similarity now in the first column? Revelation chapter number 6, the first seal corresponds to Jesus saying the same thing in Matthew 24. The same thing, that many will come in my name and deceive many. Beware of that. Another verse that Jesus speaks about the first seal in that chapter, verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 and 24, he says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe, for false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. This he's talking about the first seal. Okay. Another verse that he is talking in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Abomination of desolation is the setting up of throne of the Antichrist right inside the temple of Jerusalem. I have spoken about it, so I will not. So that is the first similarity. Revelation 6, first seal, and Jesus speaking about the same in Matthew 24. Rapture has still not yet come. Wait, it will come in the sixth seal. It has still not yet come. Okay, let's go to the second point. The second point is the second seal. The second point under the first column is the second seal. Revelation chapter number 6, verse number 3 and 4. And he opened the second seal. I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. This is the second seal opened. What happened? Peace was taken away from the earth. A sword was given, and people were doing what? Killing one another. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 24. That will be found in verse number 6 and 8. That is the second point of the second column. Verse number 6 and 8. No peace. What does Jesus say in Matthew 24? He says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So the earth will be troubled. The rumors of wars and wars will take away the peace. This is the fiery red horse. Okay? Hallelujah. Verse number 7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Nations will come against nation, kingdoms. There will be killing of men. Man will kill man. What is that? The second seal. Do you see that in the scripture? The second seal, the fiery red horse, where peace will be taken away. Man will kill man. The second seal. Hallelujah. Are we together until now? Amen. The third point. The third point is the third seal. The third point is the third seal. Verse number 5-6. Verse number 5 and 6. The third seal. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Rising prices, famine. Jesus spoke about that in verse number 7, in verse number 7, where he says, there will be famines, which will give a rise, a hike in prices. Listen to me. Okay, this is the third point. So where we started on, the first point was the first seal. So in the first seal, the Antichrist comes as a peace-loving guy. The Antichrist comes and wins the hearts of people. And then the reign of Antichrist starts. The second seal is where he will make nations fight nations. He will show his true nature. Okay, so remember what I told you. The seven seals are the manifestation of the mystery of Antichrist. So the first seal, the Antichrist came. The second seal, he started to show his true nature. He started to instigate nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So there was no peace on earth. There was war. And what is the third seal now? The third seal is where he will introduce his mark. Prices are rising, but if you want to purchase and buy, he will introduce the mark. He will introduce the mark of the beast. The rapture has still not yet come, beloved. The prices are rising, and that is where he will introduce the mark. I don't have time to go much in detail, but it says the oil and the wine will not be harmed, because there will be a people living on the earth who will survive by a different product, which is the oil and the wine. And it will not survive by the products of the world, that is wheat and grain. Wheat and grain signifies the grains that come from the earth. But these guys who are not harmed by the rising prices are the people who are having oil and wine, which signifies the oil of God and the wine that comes from his threshing floor. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? I've already taken that sermon, How to Escape the Coming Famine. I've already taken that. Okay. Am I going fast? Okay, listen to me. So this is the third point. Okay, third point. This is the third point. Okay. So So, rapture is still not yet happened according to Jesus. Okay? Rapture is still not yet happened. Now, let's go to the fourth point, which is the fourth seal. The fourth seal. Verse number 7 and 8. Verse number 7 and 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword. This is when the Antichrist will start to kill people who do not take his mark. You see that? Kill with sword, with hunger, with death. He will not give food to people. He will not allow food to come to people. The people of God will be tested on earth with hunger and with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Remember when the apostles were in Rome, they were all killed in Rome. Then the church was persecuted. There was a big stadium where the Christians were brought, and lions and all sorts of animal were let loose on the Christians to kill the Christians. So such things will be carried out by Antichrist. Yes. Let's see where Jesus speaks about it in Matthew 24, the corresponding verse. The corresponding verse in Matthew 24, where Jesus is speaking. It says in verse 7, there will be what? Verse 7, pestilences and earthquake and in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Men will betray you. People will persecute you for my sake. That is what Jesus is speaking about. What? About the fourth seal. About the fourth seal. Do you see the chronological order of what is happening and what the scripture is saying? Let's come to the fifth seal now. Let's come to the fifth seal. After this killing and all, what happens? Verse number 9, when Revelation 6, verse number 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So you see, souls were killed for the sake of their faith in Christ. By who? By the Antichrist. And they were crying under the altar after the opening of the fifth seal. They were saying, "Lord, how long? Lord, how long?" And when they were saying, "How long?" Jesus talks about it in Matthew 24, the corresponding scripture in Matthew 24, verse number 22. Verse number 22. It says, Jesus says, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days were shortened." Who are the elect? These prayers of the people who are saying, "Lord, how long? Lord, Lord, yeah, do it, Lord. Yes, do it, Lord." And the Lord said, "Okay, there are some more people who are supposed to be slain for the word of God. Let them come, and then I will avenge your blood." You see that? Okay. Now, the sixth point is the rapture. After all these things happen, the rapture comes. Okay. Revelation chapter number 6, verse number 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for he has come. We don't want to see him." The Lord has come on the cloud. The Lord has come. After, hallelujah. This is scripture. Now. Let me come back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, okay. After all that Jesus explains from verse number 4 to verse number 28 is about the five seals. He comes in the verse number 29 for the sixth seal. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. What are the similarities here? The similar things that Jesus is speaking and the Revelation is saying is sun is darkening, moon is not giving its light, stars of heaven are falling, there is an earthquake. The same things Jesus is speaking. So it is proven that the rapture will happen after the Antichrist, after the mark of the beast is introduced. Do you see that in the scripture? Even 2 Thessalonians, where Apostle Paul himself says, now concerning brethren are gathering together with the Lord, listen that that day will not come until the revealing of the son of perdition, the man of lawlessness. The rapture will not happen until then. And the people, listen to me, I am very serious about what I am saying. The pastors who are teaching you that the rapture will happen before the Antichrist comes, no one will trouble you, you will be taken off from this world before the trouble comes, they have this doctrine given to them by Satan himself. By Satan himself. Because this is what the scripture is saying. And if you are put into an imaginary world where you are made to believe that the rapture will happen before Antichrist will come, and when the rapture does not happen and the Antichrist comes and deceives you, you will be clueless what to do. But if you know the revelation of God's word, you will prepare as per the scriptures. We will prepare the bride of Christ as per the scriptures. This is the scripture. Brother Rahul, it's the scripture. You cannot change it. The rapture will happen after the Antichrist. This is what Jesus is saying. Clearly, I don't know how people are believing in such doctrines. I don't know, really. Hallelujah. So, it says, what is Jesus saying? Verse number 30, Matthew 24, verse number 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The same thing, Revelation chapter number 6, sixth seal. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The first resurrection. The first resurrection. But before that first resurrection, beloved of God, we have to go through many things. We have to go through death threats. We will be forced to take the mark of the beast. And I am telling you, and God is my witness, if tomorrow someone comes and take this mark, otherwise we will kill you, kill me. It's better to die now and get resurrected rather than to take the mark of the beast and suffer for eternity in the lake of fire. Kill me. I'm happy to die. Hallelujah. Because after the rapture, there will be no salvation. It will be impossible for someone to be saved because all intercessors went with God. Who will intercede now? Everyone went with God after that. Then what comes are the bowls of his wrath. Where everyone who took the mark of the beast, God will torment them, and they will not repent. Because now these guys who are remaining on this earth after the first resurrection are subject to the judgment of second death. Mm-hmm. Are we together? So this is the explanation. I hope you made a column and you keep that page in your diary. That is very important, that what I made you to write in your diary. These are the six seals. The seventh seal even in the sixth seal, something else happens. 144,000 people are marked on their foreheads. That is the remnant of Israel. I don't have time. It's a vast topic. Maybe I will take some other day. But I'm going to explain you scripture where you will never have a second opinion that, oh, no. This speculation about the scripture. That is how I am going to teach you the scripture. The only truth, the meaning of the Revelation book. Hallelujah, by the grace of God. Are we understanding that? So Jesus says, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The church will go through a tribulation period of five seals. This is what I want to say. The five seals tribulation is what the church has to go through. And in that, the manifestation of Antichrist, the mark of the beast, all those things are included. You know why the Lord will allow the church to go through it? Because he wants to test his people, whether they truly love. And those who did not love their lives even until death, but love the Lord more than life, they will make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People of God, can everyone here shout a hallelujah before we move ahead?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Another scripture. Another scripture. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 1. It's about the rapture again. When it will happen. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. I am on 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that is the rapture, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The scripture is so clear. Sometimes I tell people, the scripture is so clear where it says the rapture will not happen until the son of perdition is revealed, the Antichrist is revealed. Then how can you believe in something where you are saying you will be raptured before the Antichrist? It's deception. Okay, so that is the word. So are we clear? So I covered what is resurrection, what will happen during resurrection, and when will the resurrection, the second coming of Christ, will happen as per the scripture. Now, let me go to the second death. Okay, we have to cover, that is a small topic. Let me cover the second death. So, hallelujah. I pray that everyone who are here and everyone who will listen to this sermon will make it in the first resurrection, will make it. Because if you don't make it, if you are left behind, then you are subject to second death. You are subject to second death. Okay, let's go to Revelation 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter number 20. Verse number 7. Verse number 7. All right. Verse number 7. Now when the 1,000 year have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. After the 1,000 years of reign, so you will not be here on this earth. You will be reigning with Christ for 1,000 years because you resurrected. Now what is happening on earth? Satan is loosed again after 1,000 years. Okay, Satan will be released from his prison. Which is the prison? The bottomless pit, which is Abaddon. That is another revelation. I will keep it for someday else. The bottomless pit. And any which ways. And will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. By the way, Gog and Magog are the nations which will even physically come against the nation of God, Jerusalem, which is happening right now in our times. You can see in the news. Those things are going to happen. And what happened during when the earth was there, the same thing, Satan will take the same people who are dead, the Muslims who are dead now, who did not believe in Christ. Those people he will take, who came again, the same people he's going to take and bring against the city of God now. Okay, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Though so, Satan has not lost his faith. He still believes that he can destroy God. Oh God, Satan is having so much of faith, more than any believers right now. So much. He still believes he can destroy God. What a fool. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This is the end of Satan now. If Satan is troubling you tonight, you give him this verse. Devil, you see your destination? You will go there. Hallelujah. You are going to go there. He was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets already are. The false prophet, the Antichrist, they are already there. Satan is cast there. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the second death. Okay, verse number 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Mm-hmm. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of the life, book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea, now this is the second kind of raising. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to the works. These are the people who did not got resurrected. The dead were given to God and the books were opened. Because you know what? God wants to make sure and clear records. God gave them a lot of chances. And he wants to now make sure these are your records. And you are going to hell, not because I am sending you. You are going to hell because of your own works. You're going to the lake of fire now. This is the second death. So people who were suffering in Hades and death and demonic spirits were tormenting them. Satan was tormenting them. The Hades releases the soul because the Hades is also going to the lake of fire. So the Hades has to empty out now. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your power? Death is swallowed up in victory. Hades is defeated. Hallelujah. Satan is going there. Hades is going. So the Hades have to empty out. So the Hades gave their soul. Death and Hades and sea gave their souls. There are also dead souls in the sea. I don't have time to explain you how souls went into the sea. Remember, Jesus talks about something in the Bible, in the gospel. He says, if anyone makes my little ones fall like this, let a stone be tied around the neck and let him be thrown alive. So there are some wicked men that God throws them alive into a realm of the sea, and they suffer in that realm of demons. They disappear from earth. They disappear. They don't die. They are thrown alive like the false prophet and the beast. I don't have time to go into much explanation, but the sea also had the dead. They gave up. The death and Hades gave up the dead. And all now these dead souls did not get a resurrected body. We got a resurrected body. All that you are laboring for on this earth for Jesus Christ is worth it. Is worth it, I'm telling you. You are getting a resurrected body, which the other rich people are not going to get. They are going to be raised, but in the same dead bodies. The dead are going to be raised. So that's why I told you first that there is no resurrection after the first resurrection. What will happen is the death and Hades will give up the dead souls, and they will stand for judgment, and the books will be opened. Hallelujah. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death, verse 13, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But he who is a part of the first resurrection, blessed and holy is he, because the second death will not have any power. This is the second death. Everything has ended. And you and me who keep the word of the Lord and do not bow down to the beast are going to be with the Lord forever and ever. And then you can read Revelation chapter 21 afterwards. It says there will be no sorrow, no tears, no sin, no temptation. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Another verse about second death I want to show you is what Jesus says to the churches. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 11. It's to the church of Smyrna, who were the persecuted church, but the faithful church. And it says, he who has an ear, Revelation 2:11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Will not be hurt by the second death. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am preparing you that no one bows down to the beast or the image of the beast and in fear takes the mark of the beast. Don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry. If they say, kill, okay, you can kill me. I am happy to die now and be with the Lord rather than to take the mark of the beast and to bow down to the image of the beast. Hallelujah. Let me end here. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. Father, we want to thank you. You know what? I ask you, brethren, to send out this sermon, especially this one, because we want to spread the word of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. And as many as could hear the message, they could be convicted that they will make it to heaven and not bow down to the beast. They will make it to heaven. Hallelujah. I know this age and I know the Christians, the devil has weakened them so much that what about the beast? Even teeny weeny demons, they are bowing down to them. What you will prepare, what you will do when the beast comes? Oh God, hallelujah. You need to strengthen yourself up in the word of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. And they did not love their lives until death. Oh, hallelujah. You have to overcome Satan. You are the church of God. You are being designed to rule. You have been designed to reign. Oh, over the realms of darkness. That's your DNA you have. That's the Holy Spirit. That is the DNA of God you have. Hallelujah. 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 Father, blessed is he who is in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are they, for the second death shall not have any power. Oh, we ask you for the times that are coming, Lord, that you will prepare your church, O Lord, for such a time as this, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, tonight, even as I delivered your word, it's not my opinion. It's not anything that came from me. Everything I routed through your word and voice, O Lord. And Father, I pray that people will not have two opinions about the rapture. They will not be deceived by the nonsense of pre-trib or post-trib or mid-trib, but they will know exactly, Lord, what to be prepared for and what are the times that are coming ahead of us, Lord. And you are raising up an army. You are raising up an army. Hallelujah. Though we may be few, Lord, but we are powerful, Lord. Hallelujah. Like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they were four of them. They were not a mega church, but they were enough to bring down the Babylons, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Jesus, that you are raising up a spiritual remnant, Lord. Hallelujah. Who will not bow down to the image of the beast? In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who will not be hurt by the second death, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful even until death, Lord. Hallelujah. Those who are with you in your army were the called, chosen, and faithful. And we want to be faithful. We don't want to betray you like Judas, Lord. Oh, Lord, leaving you and bowing down to Mammon, Lord, or the beast, Lord. Oh, Father, we want to be faithful until the very end, Lord. Every person here, Lord, who is listening to your word, empower them in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. People of God, shout amen.
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 Amen.